Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. Tony coming to you from the bottom of the world here in New Zealand. And with me today, I have Leo Homan in Georgia. And it's pretty regular that Leo's on the show. Always interesting discussions. So welcome back.
Oh, well, thanks for having me back, Tony. Appreciate it.
There's always so many things going on, and you know, it's just changing so often, particularly in America, you know, at the moment with the whole Trump transition and all of that, and then you had those weird plane crashes recently, and it's just like it's been pretty eventful.
It really has. It's actually been hard to even keep up with as a professional news person. I mean, my goodness, you know, you're covering one thing and then five more slap you in the face before you're done writing about the other one. I mean, it is just head spinning. I have never seen this much breaking news in a, 10-day period or however long Trump has been in office in my life. And I am no spring chicken. So, you know, we're just trying to do the best we can, trying to stay on top of it, trying to report the good with the bad. And most people in the conservative media are focused entirely on the good, to the total ignoring of the bad. And so I guess I've sort of pride myself in being a, well, pride, that's not the right word, but I stake my reason for being on the internet. How's that? Because I am going to call it like I see it, both the good and the bad. Without that, I don't see a reason for my existence as a news reporter or analyzer of what's going on. And last week I published three articles. One was the day before the inauguration, so I guess it goes back to the week before that, on a Sunday, saying watch out for Trump picking up the torch for technocracy, and running with it in a way that Joe Biden really never could, because Trump is much more tied into the business community. He much more empathizes with the business community. And a lot of these corporations don't really have our best interests at heart. My motto has always been the bigger the business, the less likely it is to be a truly good citizen. And it usually is more likely to abuse its employees, to take advantage of customers, slap you with unnecessary fees, and if you know how the banks have been doing. But it really doesn't seem to matter to President Trump how big a business is or what its record may be. He's trying to make life easier for them, cut the regulations. And while that may sound good, when it comes to something like AI, artificial intelligence, now we're getting into a very dangerous area, in my opinion, I think that needs to be regulated and regulated heavily. Or we're going to end up all being replaced, all being demeaned in value. Human value comes from our sense of work, our ability to work and provide value. And the whole concept of AI runs antithetical to that human nature, to want to be valuable, to want to have a purpose in life, not just spiritually, which your audience knows all about that. But physically, you know, both in the world to come, but in the current world here on Earth, human nature is you want to feel appreciated. And the whole concept of AI is to do away with that. Yuval Harari has even said, you know, he is the famous advisor to Klaus Schwab at the Globalist World Economic Forum. He's an Israeli historian, and he's also a futurist who is frequently musing about what we have to look forward to in a technocratic age. And I remember one quote that one thing he said that stuck with me was that the feeling of being worthless as a human being is even more denigrating than feeling oppressed. So, in other words, man has always been oppressed, the lower rungs of society. You know, you had the feudal system, and then you had where people worked as indentured slaves, basically, on a plot of land owned by some oligarchy. You know, then you had the Industrial Revolution, and the common man was often taken advantage of when he moved from the farm to the factory. You know, child labor and all that. And, you know, we passed laws against a lot of these things, and life started getting better. Now we've got this fourth industrial revolution that threatens to take us back to serfdom, only in a, not in a, the way it used to be, but in an even more sinister way, really, in my opinion, digital serfdom, where we are acting as digital slaves for a new type of oligarchy. They're no longer the industrialists of the 19th century, or the robber barons, or the royalty of the 17th and 18th centuries, but they are technological oligarchy. We saw them with the president on his first full day in office, Tuesday, January the 21st, when they announced at the White House the launching of Project Stargate. And flanked by the president was Sam Ellison, the chairman of Oracle, a big tech company, and Sam Altman of OpenAI, and the chairman, also CEO and chairman of Japanese bank called SoftBank, which I cannot pronounce his name. And these three technocrats were sitting there with the president explaining how they're going to invest $500 billion in expanding and making more powerful artificial intelligence. Yeah. They're going to build a slew of new data centers, massive data centers, that will hog up all of the energy and water systems in the areas where they're built. The first ones are going to be built in Texas, but we already have some massive ones. We have a couple of new ones in Georgia that have gone up just in the last 2 years, and they're planning to build several more here in Georgia. But they're going to build new ones all over to support this new project Stargate, which will allow them to expand AI. And it sounds to me like this is building the digital infrastructure for the coming digital slave state, where everything about you as a human being will be logged, tagged, traced, and assessed. And this will be the infrastructure for the new social credit scoring system like they have in China. Does President Trump know that this is how it's going to be used? Is he just being taken for a ride by these technocrats, these billionaire technocrats like Sam Altman and Larry Ellison? I don't know, and I don't pretend to know, but he's either very gullible or he is a deceiver. And I think that's going to all play out over the course of the next 4-year Trump term.
Personally, I think he is the latter of those two things, that he's the deceiver and knows full well what he's doing. And he's an actor, a very good actor. And he knows exactly where this is going, and he was put there for this very purpose. That's what I believe and have believed for since 2016. But it is a pretty sinister thing and a big thing, and people are being distracted by it, but by the other things that Trump is doing.
Yes, he's doing so many good things at blinding speed. Like I said, every hour lately instead of every day, you know, there's a new executive order, there's a new statement, you know, he's going to close down now, he says, or try to close down the Department of Education. You know, he's banned these child mutilation surgeries. He's done just one thing after another that sounds wonderful to the conservative ear, and especially the conservative Christian ear. He's pardoned the 23 political prisoners who were serving long sentences simply for praying outside of abortion clinics. He's pardoned 1,500 or so J6 political prisoners who had no, the government had no right to imprison those people, the vast majority of them, for anything close to the sentences they received. These were misdemeanors in most cases, and here they were in jail 4 years later. You know, that is unheard of in America. You just don't go to jail for 4+ years for a misdemeanor. While at the same time, the liberal protesters from the Summer of Love in 2022, I believe, where they burned down entire sections of American cities, they were given no sentences whatsoever. I don't think most of them were ever even prosecuted. And if they were, they were in and out the jail the same day and never went back with a, you know, with no punishment whatsoever. So it just looks and sounds so good what Trump is doing. But I guess if he is the deceiver that you're saying he is, like I said, I'm still not 100% convinced of that. He could just be so egotistical that it's easy to manipulate him. But if he is the deceiver, that would be a very clever way to go about it, to keep people focused on these just head-spinning number of positive, wonderful-sounding declarations. And who knows how many of these executive orders will actually turn out to be carried out, executed policies, right? I mean, you can announce and sign a piece of paper, but then you've still got to get the federal bureaucracy to carry out your wishes, to execute your order. That's why they call it an executive order. And we're already getting reports of outright insubordination from some of these agencies. Now, again, to Trump's credit, he's not just rolling over and talking a good talk. He's going in and firing some of these people who are refusing the orders. So on every level outside of this technocratic layer that we just got done talking about, it seems like he is doing a really good job trying legitimately to fulfill his campaign promises. But he never promised anything, which is interesting, about this artificial intelligence and spending $500 billion. Now, it's not taxpayer dollars. We do need to make that clear. It's private investment. So that leads you to ask the question, what is Trump providing exactly if he's not providing the federal money for this Stargate project? I think it is the power of his name, the Trump brand, and it is the promise to fast track it, to eliminate all regulations that these companies will encounter when they go to build these massive data centers. And then once the data centers are open, again, no regulation on the actual implementation of the AI. So basically, he's unleashing AI on us in a completely unfettered, unregulated fashion. And I just think that that is dangerous. And I don't think it's been fully debated or discussed within the conservative Christian community as to what this will look like when it's finished. I personally have grave concerns about it.
Yes. And also, let's not forget Elon Musk, the power that he seems to be wielding at the moment as well. And, of course, he's a transhumanist with Stargate, I mean, not Stargate, Starlink. And,
Starlink.
Yep, and the Neuralink and all of these other basically things, transhumanist things. So he's a transhumanist. Sam Altman and Larry Ellison are as well. So you have all of these people right up there with known transhumanist goals, and they're right up there. And it seems that Elon Musk has some sort of control over the purse strings of things at the moment, and a lot of power. So it's really, It is going at breakneck speed, like you said, blindingly fast. And are these really the people you want in control of your country, and supposedly the most powerful country in the world? Boy, they're not the people that you would have thought you'd want. I wouldn't, you know, in the past have thought, oh, yeah, I want transhumanists running my country.
Well, but like I said, that there's very little attention being placed on that layer of Donald Trump. Mm. I mean, most people, number one, don't even know what most people in America don't know what technocracy is. And I would be willing to bet that the vast majority don't know what transhumanism is.
Yeah.
So they're completely unaware of who these technocratic oligarchs are that Trump has surrounded himself with. Do they know that these guys are trying to build what they call humanity 2.0? I don't think so. And then, you know, what is humanity 2.0? Oh, that is the idea that we can use technology to improve humanity, not just improve humanity's dealings with the outside world. That's what technology has traditionally been used for, you know, a better farm piece of farm equipment, a better factory machine, a better computer to do word processing and typing with, or what, you know, you can see the escalation. But no, it's not to improve our dealings with the outside world. It is to improve humanity itself. In other words, they're expecting us to at some point internalize this technology. We see it with, it started with the wearables, you know, iPhone watch and, you know, his Elon Musk's brain implant. It's getting more invasive. You know, Yuval Harari, again, to quote him, talked about during COVID, humanity accepted the idea of being surveilled and monitored 24/7. We couldn't go here. We couldn't go there. When we did go here or there, we had to stand on the dotted line and be 6 feet apart and all. He thought that that was amazing, how humanity just willingly accepted to do what in many cases were stupid, unscientific things, had nothing, no bearing on whether or not you were going to spread COVID. You know, you were going to spread it at 5 feet, but not at 6 feet. Mm. I mean, come on. Nobody questioned that, Harley. And so these technocratic oligarchs were like, if we can get them to do all that, what else can we get them to do, right? And so they're going to take it to the next level. And what is that next level? Yuval Harari said they've already accepted surveillance. The next step is to put the surveillance under the skin.
Yeah.
Under the skin. And so now you're getting creepily close to what Revelation 13 warned about, right?
Yeah.
When you combine the contact tracing and the vaccine health passports people had on their phones all during COVID, with the idea that, okay, now they tell us the next step is they want it under the skin. What does that tell you? When you couldn't go into a restaurant in 10 major U.S. cities during COVID unless you showed proof of your vaccine on your phone app. Well, think if that was under the skin and they expanded it to grocery stores and department stores and outdoor markets and any place that you would buy or sell. Now you have the infrastructure in place for Revelation 13.
Let's not forget, and I want to be very careful still how saying things here because I don't want this video to be banned, but the this threesome that was with Trump, they have talked about mRNA cures as part of this whole AI thing. And so we know that Trump was the warp speed guy.
Right.
And then you've got these people talking about more of that technology to come. I don't understand why.
Yeah, where's the disconnect? Right.
Yeah, why aren't people seeing that? Hang on a second.
It's because he's come out on fire with everything that from pro-life to pro-freedom to pro-Second Amendment to anti-LGBTQ insanity, everything that Christians dreamed of, he's handing to them with his right hand on a silver platter, but they're not looking at the left hand, yeah, which is handing them transhumanism and global tyranny through technocracy.
And he's got his new treasury secretary as part of the LGBTQ, yes, community as well. So he's, yeah, it's an interesting thing that, but I do see.
Sam Altman is part of that community as well.
Well, there you go. Yeah, exactly. So, and they don't have any outcry over Trump's policies regarding the military and all of that. Yeah, which is interesting. If there's a bigger picture at play here that they know about, and even let's face it, I mean, Trump has come out as a strong man, a strong leader. He's not like Joe Biden. Yes. He's not like a puppet, yeah, that's half dead. And you know, even this thing with the tariffs, suddenly Mexico and and Canada have bowed the knee to it. You know, it's real interesting watching this. And potentially I go, oh, okay, that's real interesting. In the end, it also could be a way of keeping people in a country as well as keeping others from coming in. So
yes, I have long stated that I thought that at some point we will look back and rue the day that we ever wanted any president to build a wall along our borders, whether it's the southern border or the northern border, because that wall, I predicted several years ago, will one day be used to keep us in, not the others out. And you can see now it's with a clearer picture how that's going to come into being. If indeed we are going to be the AI capital of the world, like President Trump says he will make us. Now, to be fair, all the Western countries are claiming that they're going to be the AI capital of the world, or almost all of them. Canada, the UK, they've all made, their government leaders have all made bombastic statements about how they're going to lead in this this race to develop AI to its maximum potential, which is the singularity, right? Where this dangerous, dystopian, incredibly creepy reality of a singularity where the totality of all human wisdom from the beginning of time until now will not be able to keep up with the intelligence of AI. I mean, if we ever do reach that point, and I'm not sure we will, I mean, who in their right mind would think that will not be abused?
Yeah.
But they're all bragging about it. They're all racing to get there. You really can see the complete moronic, undiscerning trampling towards disaster of humanity right now, and it's because we're rushing ahead with this without first taking it to God, first thinking from a biblical worldview of how this will affect humanity. It's not only anti-human, it's very anti-God, because what they're trying to do is say that we can improve humanity. We can one-up God. And as you said, it's very much tied into the DNA of humanity, the DNA of our bodies. They talked all about it at that press conference with Larry Ellison, talking about how, you know, they can run a DNA gene sequence on your entire body and find out what cancer you as an individual person are most susceptible to. And then they can again use AI, and they will do that with an AI blood test. And then within 48 hours, they can come up with a tailor-made AI vaccine, robotically created by these little nanobots, that will vaccinate you against that particular cancer that your body is susceptible to. I mean, if that isn't creepy, I mean, because what they're saying is your natural immune system is not good enough as God created you.
Yeah.
We can do better. In many ways, these people are worse than atheists, because an atheist discounts and dismisses that there's a God. These people seem to believe that there is a God, but they are a more powerful God. and that they can outdo the Almighty. I mean, it really is unbelievable. And they are in for a rude awakening at some point. But I'm afraid we're going to have to live through some very trying times before it all gets dealt with by the Almighty.
And you've got the whole thing with robots too, the how fast they're developing. There was a Chinese robot I saw something on a week or two ago, you know, that's combined these with AI. And it's like this is like when we were kids, we watched these sci-fi movies about this is the stuff, you know, the scary stuff. And now it's actually starting to happen and people are embracing it and think it's wonderful.
Yeah, right. I mean, most people still think when you talk about AI, oh, it's just going to make my phone more convenient and I can just ask it a question. You know, I don't have to type in anything anymore. I'll just ask it a question no matter what it is, and AI will give me the answer like that. It's going to make my life easier, more convenient, more efficient. That's what most people have in their minds when you talk about AI. They have no clue where this is heading. Every facet of your life at some point is going to be dictated by an algorithm. You know, that's the real AI that we should have our eyes on. It's not yet possible because they don't have the data centers to store all of this data that they need to vacuum up, to process and store. But that's what President Trump is riding to the rescue for, saying that he can lend his powerful name to the raising of $500 billion. And that's just a start. You know, that's just a down payment. You know, if he keeps with it, he can raise even more money, he thinks. So it really is, you know, if you weren't reading it in the newspapers and the websites every day, you really would think it was part of a fictional novel, wouldn't you?
You would, yep. And I also think with him, with the whole exploration for oil and gas, that's all part of creating more power for these data centers and all this AI, because all the other stuff's not cutting it. Your wind power and your solar.
People think that's going to be for them and make gas prices lower and the cost of electricity lower and all of that. No, it's all this added electricity and energy is going to go to the technological oligarchs to power up AI. And now it's interesting that China came out with its version of AI called DeepSeek. And it's better, or just as good or better. And it runs cheaper and it doesn't require as much energy. So I'm actually happy that China came out with it. I mean, China is run by horrible communists, but its version of AI is open sourced. And it's not going to be such a draw on resources the way the U.S. Envisions its AI being run. So hopefully that will at least put some competitive pressure on these U.S. companies to make their AI less dependent on energy, soaking up all the energy. Because if we don't see some changes in that way, I can foresee a time in the not too distant future where we'll all be running, you know, like in South Africa, we'll have quotas of, you know, you can use electricity 6 hours today and the rest of the day it's, you know, sorry, it's going to go to AI. You know, they won't say that, but it'll be rationed. We will have rationed power sources the way we are heading. And so, it's definitely interesting how Trump is leading the way into this new technocratic world order. It's really, in my opinion, it's the Great Reset rebranded. The Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution rebranded. Those are the words of the World Economic Forum and the globalists who Trump has criticized. But now he's coming out with his same version of this, but just calling it something different. You know, Trump, by the way, is kind of famous for that. You know, he took the 15-minute city concept and said he was going to do it and call them freedom cities. So, you know, it's all in the verbiage, right? Mm-hmm. And he is the master salesman.
Yeah.
I mean, if the man has any real talent, it is his ability to sell you something that sounds good, but is going to end up being to your detriment.
Yes, true. I'm thinking too of cars. You know, there was something I read the other day about them putting something in the car so that if you speed more than three times in a month or something, then bang, you know.
Yes.
And so, of course, that's just phase one, step one. So everything in your cars for our safety, we're going to need them. So it'll be controlled and monitored. And
right. And there will be no need for traffic cops. Everything will be enforced by AI. You'll just get a ticket in the mail saying, you know, that's already happening with these speed cameras, right? But they'll have it for every little violation. I mean, at some point, people will say, well, you've taken all the fun out of driving. I just ride the bus, or I'll just take the mass transit system, because everybody will be getting ticketed here, there, and yonder. It's already an issue in cities. Almost every major city I've been to, there's an issue with parking.
Hmm.
You know, you can never find parking. Yeah. When you do find it, it costs you an arm and a leg. Yeah. Same with insurance rates are exorbitant in cars now. You can see how they're trying to force people out of their cars, out of their vehicles. Yes.
Yes, that's just one phase, you know, out of it all. And there are just so many facets of this, but I just don't like the direction it's going. And I'm surprised that more people aren't seeing it, that should be seeing it.
I think most people, it seems like they would rather keep their head in the sand and focus on the happy, feel-good stories. And there are a lot of them right now, like I said. I mean, I voted for Trump for no other reason, because I wanted to see those pro-life activists let out of prison and those J6 prisoners let out of prison. And if he did those two things and nothing else, my conscience is clear, because I could not stand going to bed at night in my comfortable bed in my nice little house on my acre of land, knowing that these people did nothing wrong. In fact, they stood up for what was right.
Yeah.
And they were rotting away in a prison cell in the DC gulag, and or even some of them were being moved around like several times a year to different prisons. I mean, it was just horrific. And so, you know, we had no choice. We had to vote for Trump as Christians, but at the same time, we should not be surprised when, you know, these other things come to pass. It's all in the Lord's hands anyway. I mean, you can tell the world is heading that way. If Trump isn't used, somebody else will be used to bring it in. It's just shocking, though, to see how fast it's moving.
Yeah, it is. It's moving very fast. And I'm suspicious of those plane crashes and things as well. Something doesn't seem right with that. Are we going to see more of that type of thing going on? And where's that going to lead? I don't know. But it's so much happening at the moment.
Yes.
And as you say, it's breathtaking to keep up with. So where do people find you, Leo, online so they can look up your other stuff?
Yeah, I have a very active Substack. They can find me there and get a free subscription where I post maybe 2 to 3 articles a week, not too overbearing, but just enough to keep people informed. And they can find that at leohoman.substack.com. Homan is spelled Hohmann, so a little different spelling, leohoman.substack.com. And then I also have my other website, leohoman.com, and I'm on Telegram, where I post as well a lot of not just my stuff, but other interesting stories that I find throughout the day on my Telegram channel. And you can find me there by searching Leo Hohmann, author/journalist.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on again, Leo. It's been interesting, and a pleasure to have you back.
Always good to be with you. And I hope you keep doing what you're doing, Tony. It's very, very informative.
Yeah, and thanks, and you too. And we'll come back again soon. So cheers.
Thanks.
And also, folks, remember our website is aminutetomidnight.com with midnight spelt M-I-D-N-I-T-E. And folks, keep us in your prayers. Keep me and Holly in your prayers. Yeah, definitely got some health issues with Holly going on that are kind of concerning. So we could do with your prayers. Also, we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. And if anyone's able to help us at the moment, that would also be really much appreciated with donating. Things have been pretty slow in that regard of late. So it's always very much appreciated if people can donate to A Minute to Midnight. And you can do that on our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And the music used on the shows I've written, played and recorded. And if you want to download some of my music, you can find some of that at our website as well. God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another episode in a few days' time.